We are up to Tani Zayin Amud Beis, and we are going to start from the Gemara Tanan, which is very hard to place, I guess. Go across where it says Gemara in Rashi. 97b3, thank you. Where it says the word Gemara in Rashi, a line down, Tanan. Now, I want to explain this so we can understand this. We had two pshatim in our Mishnah. We had a pshat in the Mishnah, We had a machlokes. Whether a person can marry two gerim that are both paternal and maternal. Can he marry his brother's wife? One man the Amar said yes, and one man the Amar said no. Right? And one man the Amar said even, there was an Ikadi Amri that said, that the man the Amar that says it's okay, even let Gerim marry their maternal brother's wife. Again, they're both Gerim. They don't have any halachic relationship. The question is there a rabbinic prohibition because people will get confused between them and a regular yid and say, they married their brother's wife, why can't I? Are we afraid of that or not? That's the question at hand. So there's a machlokes, there's three cases. When it's only a paternal brother, nobody's worried about that because people don't view paternal relationships like I am as a serious relationship. When it's a maternal only, let's hit the other one. When it's both, paternal and maternal, so there's a machlokes. Rav Sheshit says people view it as maternal, and Rav Acha bar Yaakov said since it's paternal, that's how people refer to it, and therefore they don't view it as a real relationship. When it's only maternal, we had two shyness in the Gemara. According to the first lashon in the Gemara, Rav Acha bar Yaakov agreed that there is a rabbinic prohibition for a ger to marry his maternal brother's wife, even though they are no longer related halachically, but rabbinically we prohibited it. According to the second lashon, Rav Acha bar Yaakov even allowed for that. Now, we go to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, "Hagiyaris and his gairu b'na ima." Hagiyaris, who is megayir with her children, so they are at least maternal brothers. Loi kalton v'loi miyadman. No kalita, no ima. Now, the Gemara understands that to mean that we don't allow one brother to marry his brother's wife. It wouldn't be Yibum because it's not related paternally, but the Mishnah by saying Loi Choltzin V'Loi Miyabim, the Gemara understands that to mean we don't allow it. We don't allow this marriage to take place. Again, the reason for not allowing the marriage to take place would be because rabbinically we prohibit it for the fear that people will think that a Jew can also marry his brother's wife. Therefore, we don't allow it. My lav, Mishima Asiri, is a raya that a maternal brother cannot marry his brother's wife. Right? Rav Acha bar Yaakov had said that he can. Here we're proving that he can't.
They have kids in this
case? They're no kids. Again, please, you weren't here when I asked. Now, for the first 3 minutes, I not get any questions, so I should be able to explain the Gemara. Again, so the case is two brothers Megayer, one didn't have any children and died. The Mishnah says, "Loi miyadmin." What does those words mean? The Gemara understands that to mean that we do not allow the other brother to marry his wife, even though they're not related, because they were both Gerim, and they're, biblically speaking, they are not related to each other. But there are Baran Asinit, because we don't want a ger marrying his brother's wife, because people will say people can marry a brother's wife. That's how we understand the Mishnah. That the word loy miyabim means we do not allow for it. If that's the case, then we have proven, that not like Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and for the Gemara, loy, the ein b'tayres chalitza v'yibim b'sharya. La'alma, v'inu nami shari. The Mishnah never meant to ban the marriage. The Mishnah meant to say there is no obligation of Yibum. Even if they are paternal and maternal brothers, and they were Megayer, and one died without children, the other brother is not obligated to do anything because it's Gerushin is Gaia Kikot and Shinoila Dami. There is no mitzvah of Yibum. His brother's wife can marry anybody she wants, including him. There's no ban to him, but there's no mitzvah for him. That's all the Mishnah meant. So we have two pshatim in our Mishnah. One pshat is that the Mishnah is telling me there is no mitzvah of Yibum. Do what you want, Mrs. So-and-so. Right? Two brothers are Megayer. One brother died without children. We tell his wife, marry whoever you want. You're not bound to anybody. You can also marry your brother-in-law. But he's not really your brother-in-law. There's no mitzvah here. You want to marry your brother-in-law, go ahead. That would be one pshat. All the Mishnah meant to say is, she's not restricted. All options open. The other pshat is that the Mishnah is saying, we don't allow the brother to marry his brother's wife. She can marry anybody she wants, except for her brother-in-law. Loi miyabma means we don't allow for Yibum. Those are the two midrabanan. Those are the two pshatim in the Mishnah. Okay, Dr. Harris, you had a question?
Yes. I don't understand. What are you afraid of in the first case not allowed?
We're afraid that people will say...
A brother's allowed to marry his brother's wife.
Right.
Which you're allowed to do.
No, you're not allowed to do.
Yibum?
Again, if we allow...
The cases, they didn't have kids. In that case, you're allowed to marry. So what are you afraid of?
You're right. It's a good question. But the answer would be, if the Rabbanan restricted a ger from marrying his brother's wife, it would be across the board. You're right. In that particular case, there's no reason for us to make the gzera.
What other case are you talking about?
And if he would have kids, and he died. Let's say one of the games did have kids, and he died. Could his brother marry his wife? Biblically, he can.
That case right here.
But once they made the yisr, they made it all-inclusive. You're right. In the case of no kids, there's no reason for the gzera. But since with kids we made a gzera, we made it all-inclusive. But the main point I want to stress is that there's two ways to learn the Mishnah, so we can understand the next piece of Gemara. There's two ways to learn the Mishnah. Either it means... we don't let the brother marry his brother's wife, or he has no obligation to marry his brother's wife. Two separate ways of learning the Mishnah. Now we move on to the next part of the Mishnah. This is where I need...
Is it called Yibum?
No.
The second case, even if he does it, it's not
Yibum. It's not Yibum. It's not his brother.
I mean, it says you're not obligated. Doesn't mean it's not Yibum. You're not obligated.
Why is it Yibum? It's not his brother. He's marrying a widow. There's nothing wrong in marrying a widow. But it's not his brother. But it's not his brother. They're gerim.
So in the first case, though, you're not saying that. The first case, you use it's not his brother. What do you let?
It's drabanan asked it because of a fear. Nobody's changing the biblical law. The biblical law is it's not his brother. The question is there a rabbinic prohibition or not? So there's two ways to learn the Mishnah, that there is or that there isn't. Now, here's where I need my 3 minutes.
We've got eight.
I let people talk. Here is where I need my 3 minutes. The Gemara's Havamina now here is going to be a little bit something we wouldn't have said, but the Gemara has a Havamina. The Mishnah continues. Even if one of these brothers was born prior to his mother's conversion, and one of the brothers was born, even if one of the brothers was conceived prior to the mother's conversion, born afterwards, and the other brother was born and conceived after the conversion, still, they can't have Yibum. That's what the Mishnah says. Afilu. Even if one brother was conceived as a guy, born as a yid, and the other brother was conceived as a yid and born as a yid, still we don't allow Yibum. That's the words of the Mishnah. I have not said a reason. Mishnah says, back to the Mishnah, Afilu, Hayrasa Sharisha Shalai Bigdusha Veleidasa Bigdusha. Even if the first one is conceived as a guy, born as a yid, Vasheni Hayrasa Veleidasa Bigdusha, the second one was conceived and born as a Jew, still no Chalitza, no Yibum. The question is, what's the even? What do you mean even? Why would I think that case does have Yibum? Why would that case be more permissible for Yibum? The Gemara entertains the following Svara. It's really, I'll try it anyway. Biblically speaking, they are brothers. If both are born to a Jewish mother, they are maternal brothers.
No matter.
They're maternal brothers. I don't care how they were conceived. They were, their mother converted before either of them were born. They are born to a Jewish mother. They're both born Jews from a Jewish mother. One has a Jewish father, and one has no Jewish father. They're maternal brothers. Now, biblically, this is a shefach. Biblically. Therefore, sure, we don't allow Yibum. It's his brother's wife maternally. This is a deraisa. This is chiyuv karis. However, one would make an argument that one would think that people would say, that case we should allow marriage. If people... Oh, again. Oh, please. That we would think that people would say, in that case, we shouldn't restrict a brother from marrying his brother's wife. Meaning, if you hold that a guy, two gerim, cannot marry each other's wives, like Rav Sheshes, you could make an argument that for people who don't know halacha, they would say the rabbinic restriction of marrying a brother's wife doesn't apply here. Why? It's not true, but why would there people think that way? People would say, when they're both born as Gayim and then they convert, in people's mind, they say, oh, these are real brothers. They were brothers as Gayim. They're brothers now. If we let them get married, people will think you can marry your brother's wife even if you're Jewish. But here, everybody understands that they're really not brothers. One was conceived to a Jewish woman, and one was conceived by a Gayish woman. So people will say, they're not really brothers. Here, we should allow them to marry each other's wives. They don't share the same halachic mother, in a sense. They're both born to a Jewish mother. But one was conceived as a guy, and one was conceived as a Jew. People would make the argument that here we should allow them to marry. So the Mishnah has to tell me, absolutely not. This is biblically prohibited. That's why the Mishnah uses the word afilu. Even in a case where you would think that people who don't know halacha will try to make an argument and say that it's more permissible in this case because they really don't have the same mother in the sense one was conceived as a guy and one was conceived as a yid. As opposed to the beginning of the Mishnah, they were both conceived as Gayim. Here they're both, one is conceived as a yid, one is conceived as a guy. You would think it's more permissible. So the Mishnah says, no, even in this case it's prohibited, and it's even prohibited biblically, because this is a real brother. That would be the pshat nafilu, Dr. Gemara. The Haktani Afilu says, even the case when one was born conceived guy and one was conceived as a Jew. If you're going to tell me we don't let a brother marry a brother's wife when they're gerim, even though the first one was conceived as a guy and the second one as a Jew, perception-wise, the Rishayim speak out. People say, they're really not brothers. We can see them not being brothers because one was conceived as a guy and one as a yid. I feel like Asiri. The Mishnah tells me absolutely not. And not only is it rabbinically usher, this is biblically usher. Eli Amrit Sharu, but if you're going to say a ger can marry his brother's wife, so my afilu. So all it meant is that there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So why, if they're born to a Jewish mother, would you think there is a mitzvah of Yibum? Why would I think any different? Right? Why would I think it's different? Why would I think there is a... What do you mean, afilu? Not only if they're born as Gayim is there no mitzvah of Yibum, but even if they're born to a Jewish mother, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. They're not brothers paternally. Why would I think that there's no mitzvah of Yibum? That there should be a mitzvah of Yibum? If the Mishnah just means there's no mitzvah of Yibum, what does it mean, even if they're born to a Jewish mother? What's even? Why would I think there is a mitzvah of Yibum? It's not paternal brothers.
Wait a minute. Why can't it be?
because one was a guy and one was a yid. And that breaks his relationship. He doesn't have a relationship to his father.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah, let me just finish the next slide and then answer the Gemara, no. The Avagat, the Tavari, Lidus, and Bekdush, Shavasavach, Lufi, Bishol, Vilach, Ishari. No. There's a Kiddush. Because you would think we should require a rabbinic Yibum. Because since it's very, you know, as Harvey pointed out, biologically they're paternal brothers. And they are maternal brothers, even halachically. So maybe we should make a rabbinic requirement of Yibum. So the Mishnah comes to tell me, they're not paternal brothers, no rabbinic requirement. That's what the Chiddush of Afila would be if you learn their mutter. Again, if you learn a brother can't marry a brother's wife, so the Afila is to tell me, don't think that if one was conceived as a guy and one was conceived as a yid, it's any different. If you learn that they could marry a brother's wife, and all the Mishnah meant to say is there's no mitzvah of Yibum, the Mishnah comes to tell me, even though biologically they're paternal brothers, and halachically they're maternal brothers, maybe we should require rabbinic chalitza. We wouldn't allow Yibum because it's Eishasach. But maybe we should ban her from getting married to anybody else until she receives chalitza. Tamash Malan, they're not paternal brothers. There's no reason to have chalitza at all. Okay, now, yes.
Let's say there's a Jewish man who has a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. Whether has children.
They're not his children.
The subsequent conversion of the children, the mother, the children, all of them, is that ever retroactively?
No. So. In fact, it's just let me just finish. If a guy has children and they all convert, Rabbi Yechonin said he's a Mekayim Peruvu. If a Yid has children from a guy and a lady and they all convert, he's not Mekayim Peruvu.
So, post-conversion of everybody, the old man dies. These converted children who are his sons, who are his biological sons, have no inheritance.
Biblically. Rabbinically, we were afraid that if we wouldn't let them inherit, they'll go back and say, we're Goyim again.
Have we learned this already?
No. No. The inheritance part we didn't really learn.
The inheritance piece.
We learned the inheritance piece? Might have been mentioned, but not that one is again.
So the overarching point is that the conversion, everything pre-conversion is halakhically a nullity.
Except for one exception, that if the father of the kids convert, he's still Mekayim Peruvu, which is against everything that we're learning here, which bothers everybody. You're saying they're not related, they're not anything, they have no shaykhus, and yet when it comes to Peruvu, you say that he did do Peruvu.
Why are we taking on that? This Shemobi Kedusha, the conception, then she converted before, then it's considered like the brothers, right?
Biblically.
Why do we say that?
Because they're born to a Jewish mother.
No, but who said maybe it's the tipa that's causing the... Who says that the conception is not the underlying factor?
It is for the father.
I'm saying who says that for the mother?
We had a Gemara earlier that a Mubaris that's Megaya or a kid is Jewish.
I should have asked it then. No, I'm serious. Why would that be?
What do you mean? A mother's relationship to a child goes all the way to childbirth. A father's relationship with a child ends at conception.
That's what I understand. Who says the mother's thing changes in midstream?
I mean, we had this Gemara before. Gerish and Mubaris, this is Gaira, but not even. But not in Tzarek Tvila. That's what it said. Kids are born Jew. It's a machloikas, but that's how everybody assumes here.
And she would be able to convert the pregnant with a... Having had a relationship,
she was a guy.
I understand.
There's no illicit relationship. She was
day
fine.
Day before she delivered.
What?
Day before she delivered.
I don't care when it is.
No, what I mean is she was isn't there some sort of conversion process where she, there I'm the
That's a moderate. I mean, I don't mean to knock it. We want to make sure that people are sincere. So we drag our feet when somebody wants to convert.
That's exactly what I've asked. They didn't really do that.
They didn't have to do it. It's not necessary if you're convinced of sincerity without it. Today we do it because we want to make sure it's sincere conversion, so we make life miserable for them till they prove their point that they really mean it. I don't mean miserable, but we drag it out. Read this book, we study this, take that, do that. But now, today, it probably wouldn't happen as you point out. But once upon a time.
Why do you say it won't happen?
No, because he's saying a woman comes pregnant, we're going to ask her, why in the world do you want to become Jewish now? You just messed around.
What's it hurt? Why didn't you?
Well, it could have been her husband.
Right.
Okay.
Is the Gemara or taking liberty and translating Leichelson to Lemmy Yapman as simple marriage? Not Shalem Machum Mitzvah, anyway.
Nobody said that there's a mitzvah of Yibum here. The question is, did the Mishnah say she cannot marry her brother's wife? Or did the Mishnah say he has no obligation to marry her?
Why did he use Leichelson to Lemmy Yapman? Why did you say Lemmy Yapman?
Because we're learning Masechtas Yevamah, so we're saying there's no Yibum. Now, either we don't allow Yibum, or we don't require Yibum. There's two ways to learn it.
So when we say Leichitz and Lemiyabne, and we're gonna use like Sharu, but not requirement, it sounds like from the inference, Leichitz and Lemiyabne, that if it be not the Makom Mitzvah, that would be not, you shouldn't do it.
Depends how you learn the word Lemiyabman.
Not required.
Not required. That means she can marry anybody she wants, including the brother.
If that's the case, then the whole premise of Yibum Mechlis doesn't make sense. You're not doing a mitzvah because there's no answer for you.
Exactly. That's what the Mishnah is saying. So exactly, that would be shot in the Mishnah. You're right. Rashi. Zok Rashi, I'm Rabbi Shlomo. Lo yim yabim d'tani masnis in hoki yashmina. Da siri li yabim, she's also to yabim. Hanna d'tani afilu. Da avagav, ikil amemir d'tavi alo kanachris. Again, this is not a real havamina. This is a biblical brother's wife. But perception-wise, people view them as less related than the two gerim that were Megayer. Because perception-wise, they see a change in the mother's status between conception one and conception two. To them, in their non-halachic minds, it's a more distant relationship than two that were conceived by and born to a Jewish mother, to a Gaisha mother. And you would think vis-a-vis Yibum, we should allow Yibum, because in this case, they have different mothers, so to speak. But the mission is only permitting her to get married. Maya filu, the mashma, the avagav the kishtei was the mishor la'alma. That even though it's like two mothers, she can marry anybody else. Got to be l'shul l'ichbasani b'nei anachas aninu enoi. Mothers don't make a difference vis-a-vis getting married to anybody else. Avagav the tevasa la'glasa kedusha l'chluva b'yisrael. The mystery of amal l'shul b'loy chalitza. You would think that if we allow this, people would say, look, here you have two maternal brothers and really share the same biological father, and we're letting them get married, her getting married without anything. Everybody knows it has to depend on paternal. In the case where they're maternal brothers, nobody allows the brother to marry this woman. Given the Ledasim Begdushan, Harikan Ak Lemonay, they are maternally related. When he says before that they can marry the brother's wife, Arecha Kamar, that's when they were both born as Gayim. But Vloya Seifa, not when they were both born as Yidden. If both are born as Yidden, they're maternally related biblically. See, even Ravaka this is usher to them. But the question is, you would think she can't even get married to anybody else unless she goes through a rabbinic chalitza, kamash v'lo
d'zeh. So how does he say
a filu? A filu that you would think that there's a requirement for rabbinic chalitza. Because since they are maternal brothers, and they really are biological paternal brothers. It could be Amri that the question went the other way. Hakinami Misarba Disharu. Afilu made more sense if you hold that you're allowed to marry a brother's wife. The Avagav, the Tavari Ludas and Bikdusha, even though they're both born Jewish, share the same halakhic mother and the same biological father, still, and you might think that says that Jewish boys' brothers don't have to do Yibum. She can get married to anybody except the brother. Eli, I'm a Tassiri, my Afilu. What's the Havamina? They're maternal brothers. What do you mean Afilu? Of course they can't marry each other. Dr. Gemara, the Avagav, the Rishon, the Dost, the Shloim, the Gdusha, the Dost, the Gdusha, the Shani, the Rasul, the Dost, the Gdusha. The Gishtayim was dummy. Perception wise, people view them as less related because the mother changed status in the middle of her pregnancy. A Philochia theory. So one learns the Havamina one way, one learns the Havamina the other way. The bottom line is, our Mishnah can be learned two ways in the Afilu. One way is to say, a Ger cannot marry his brother's wife. And even in cases where people perceive that they're not really brothers because the mother changed status, it's still usher biblically. And the other way is to say, a Ger can marry his brother's wife. All the Mishnah means to say is there's no mitzvah of Yibum and no mitzvah of Chalitza. Even when you would think that since they're really maternal brothers and biologically paternal brothers, they should have at least a rabbinic chalitza. Kamash Malon, there's no rabbinic chalitza.
The point is, is that a universal thing?
It is a universal thing.
So what's that mean? So there's no chance between the two kids, right?
Not true. They were both born Jewish. They're maternal brothers, biblically.
The father.
I don't care about the father.
They're not Gershon's
Geyer. They're not Gershon's Geyer. No, make no difference. The father is out of the picture. They were born to a Jewish mother. They are Jewish. What happens if a guy has a relationship with a Jewish woman? What is the child? He's a Jew.
And those two brothers don't have either.
No.
Do people don't know the halacha that it has to be mina af then? I mean, why is that? It comes to you, it has to be achmi mina af. Who cares that the mother's?
What do you mean?
What you said?
100 people.
That's the Mishnah telling us.
No.
I feel people know it has to be mina af, and therefore you don't have to worry about it.
So many people had that hobby. That's a universal thing. There were a hundred people in the street now, and asked them, does that mean? No, I mean, Yemen, I'm talking about. What's that? New shul that opened up? Oh, hell, something. Oh, hell, go there. I don't know how many people know that. I don't test people.
Because I might think that the mission has to tell us that there's no chalitza. Because I might think they should do a chalitza because they're achmina.
No, because they're also biologically achmina.
Oh. That's the kuda there.
There are two things. They're achmina aim biblically and biologically achmina.
So the chiddush is that even though
they share a Jewish mother and a biological father, there's no rabbinic chalitza.
Since one was done before
kiddush,
one was done before kiddush.
That's more mistavra.
What?
Mistavra, no?
I like that. To me, that's much more mistavra than the other havamina, that you would think that since the mother changed status in the middle, that should make it more permissible. That's biblically prohibited. The Rishonim ask the question, but they say, perception-wise, people think it's less. Okay, Tashma. Now we get into a different kind of case. Shtei Akim Tu'umim, two twins, they obviously share the same father. It's not like we don't know who the father is. Whoever is the father of one is automatically the father of the other. They're twins. What difference does it make? Gerim. Even though we know they're paternal brothers, in the Mishnah you could have said, you never know who the guy's father is. Here, you can't say that. We know they both share the same father. They're twins. There's no biblical Eshesach. Because Yershin is Gair, Gekhat, and Shinoi with Dami. What if mom converted while she was carrying the twins? There's no chalitza yibum because, again, paternally they're not related, but maternally they are real brothers and they're b'teshesach. What if the parents converted preconception? They are totally Jewish.
Yours.
I have no idea what the other means. I don't know.
Maybe it's no Yibum.
There is Yibum. They're paternal brothers. Why not? I don't know what the Amin is. Right. Okay, now going back to the first case. They were Megayer, right, themselves. Twins were Megayer. The Mishnah said, the Brachta said, no Chalitza, no Yibum, and not Chayiv Mishamesh itself. How about, is it allowed? The Dik is, they do it, there's no biblical violation. Mashma, there is a rabbinic issur. It doesn't say, and they're allowed to get married to each other. It says, if they get married to the brother's wife, they're not chayav. Mashma, they're not chayav, because it's not biblical, but you shouldn't do it. And for the Gemara, who are then? I feel these are not like. Really, they can even get married l'chatchila. Again, two gerim. No mother, no father, Jewish, both gerim. The Mishnah said, no chalitza, no yibum, even though they're twins. We know who their father was. But Gershon is Gaia, Kikot, and Shanael, and Dami. And there's no mitzvah chalitza, yibum. And the Mishnah said, if they marry each other's brother, they're not chayim, Mishamesh Yisach. The inference is they're not chayim, but it's not something that they're allowed to do. And for the Gemara, they're allowed to do it. If I didn't turn him by the Mishnah Savior Abu Chayyabim, the next case when they share a Jewish mother, they're Chayyab, Tanin Amiresha ain't Chayyab. You're right. Really, you should have said they're allowed to marry each other's brothers, wives. But it doesn't say that because it wants to contrast it to the next case, where it wants to say Chayyab, so here it says you're not Chayyab. But really, over here it's permissible as well. So there's no proof either way. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. This is for sure paternal brothers, biologically, the Kaimelon Tipakasi, Skalakis Nishnayim. The Gemara says later on, twins are really one drop of semen that splits into two. That would be identical twins, by the way. As if that makes a difference. I feel like Kitchu Lagash and his guy, the Gershon is guy who cut Chanel with me. There is no brother here. Like also let me have the Tajiba Minavu, Bahane Lamav. Right? This is the one that their mother is Jewish, but they have no Av, the Zerem Mitzvah. Abu Chayab Karas Mishimesh Sach. See, you can't say Gershon is guy here. See, that's why Rashi's being very careful. If the mother converted while she was carrying the baby, they're not Gerim. They're born Jewish. So what? Why aren't they related to their father? The rule of Gershon is Gair Kikot and Chanel Adam, it doesn't apply to them. They're not Gerim. They have a Gaisha father and a Jewish mother. They were born to a Jewish mother. We know for sure they have the same biological father. They're twins. They're not Gerim, so there's no Kikot and Chanel Adam. So why aren't they related paternally? The answer is, because the Torah said the seed of a guy doesn't count. There's no Gersh in his Gaia here. This is what Rashi is coming to tell me. I have a Chayav and Karev and Shem Eish Zachem and Eim, Chari Yid Kisrael, she held the bottom, she's a Jewish lady, they have kids. Hayi Tzuri Yikim and Drabana, Le Leitzi Lach Lufa B'Yisrael, Kashel Ravacha. And the answer is, no. It's not really, you could marry, but since the bottom says Chayavin, the Reisha says Ein Chayavin. Amar Rava. Ha, the Amar, Rava's going to say something that we know already, but Rava's going to speak it out. Ha, the Amar Rabbanan Ein Avla Mitzri. That which the Rabbanan say, that a child has no relation to his Gaiish father, that if father, a guy who fathers a Jewish child from a Jewish wife, is not related to his child, Loi Tema Mishum Deshtuve Zima Loi Yedia. Do not say it's because we don't know who that is, because Gaiim are always Mizana, so we don't know who it is. It's not because we can't identify the father. Avu Yedia Chashina, but if we knew the father, we would take that as a relationship. That's snapshot. Elafili Yedia. Even if you know 100% sure that this guy fathered the child, Nami Loi Chashinan, it's not a relationship. Don't think that the reason a child born to a Gaiish father is not viewed as a child of the father, even if he's not a Ger, is because who is the father? We don't know. No, we know, and it's still not a relationship. How do I know that? You have two twins. The Tipos Achasayev and Nechlak of the Shnayim, it was definitely fathered by one father. We say it's not a paternal brother. Why not? They're not Gerim. They were born Jewish. They have the same father. They're paternal brothers who were born Jewish. Why don't they have a mitzvah of Hebrew? Jewish mother.
They need a Jewish father.
Why? Why? They're not Gerim. This guy cutting Chanel with them. They're not Gerim. They were born Jewish. They did have the same father, they're twins. Why does that make a difference? They are Achim and Av. Why not? See, if you say Gersh and his guy can cut and Chanel with dummy, it cuts off a relationship. They're not Gersh and his guy here.
They were
deep slate. Therefore, Dr. Rubber, you want to know why? The Torah says a guy's children are not his children from a Jewish wife. Their seed is animal-like. Meaning, when a guy lives with a Jewish lady, meaning, halachically speaking, the Torah says Jewish children have no relationship to their Gaiish father. Even without Gersh in his Gaiish, you cut in Shanae Ladami.
The father is Jewish.
No,
Gai fathered. Mitzri is a guy. Just saying,
we're not talking about a still
non-Jewish
children conceived through a Jewish father. That's not
this kid. There, the kid is a guy because you go by mother, maternal, matrilineal lineage.
That person is born as a Jew.
You seem to be bothered by it. I'm not trying to. What difference does it make?
Psychologically.
Oh, you're worried about the kid psychological? Get him a therapist. What am I supposed to tell you? People are supposed to be stronger than that.
So what are you trying to say?
Rashi, I have no answer to that. Except that the Torah says that's what it is. By the way, to the point, and this is about Machlokes Rishonim, I'm not posturing here. To the point, a woman who's married has a willing relationship with a guy, she asks it to her husband. There are Rishonim that say no, because she didn't live with a man. She lived with Zer Masus, her Muslim. And therefore, just like if she lived with an animal, it wouldn't banner to her husband. It wouldn't banner to her husband if she lives with a guy either. Other Rishonim say, oh, no. But it's Machlokes Rishonim. That's how far we take Zer Masusim, Zer Muslim, that some Rishonim are willing to say that a woman who has a relationship with a guy while she's married, if she's married, it's not us, it's her husband, because she didn't have a relationship with a man. She had a relationship with Zer Masusim, and that doesn't banner to her husband. Now, other Rishonim argue and say, no. Of course it's a biyah to a man. All it means is, halachically, the kids are not viewed as his children. Shaila's Esther. Esther lived with Achashverosh. She went willingly. Chazal darshan, she became usher to Mordechai. That's the Machlokes Rishonim. Did she become Asa to Mordechai? Did she not become Asa to Mordechai? It was a guy. That's the Machlokes Rishonim. It's a Taisus and Subas of Gimel of the Beis. And it's a, I'm going to say how far some Rishonim take this. Rashi. Dr. Rashi.
The
Goyish guy with the Goyish lady, there is two simple. You don't need that. Right. See, this is the problem. We're going back to the same problem. A Goyish guy lives with a Goyish lady and has kids. He's Mekayim Pru Urvu. That means we recognize the children as his children to be Mekayim Pru Urvu. What happened to Zer Masusim Zer Masam? This is the problem. We recognize biblically that a guy has inheritance rights of his Goyish father. We don't say Zer Masusim Zer Masam. Animals don't inherit their parents. We don't say that. By an Eved Kanani, we do say that. An Eved Kanani has children, is no yichus at all. A guy has children, 100% yichus. But yet, when he lives with a Jewish woman, we say that Jewish child has zero relationship to his Goyish father because of Zer Masusim. This is the Achrayim's question, exactly how to define all this. Rashi. Hadam Rabbanan ain't have limitia filahecha the lech of the man because cut and shenai the dummy. What? Second line from the top. That which they said ain't have limitia even if they don't take a cut and shenai the dummy. Gonna rasa shlai bigducha vile dasa bigducha. He actually shaman aim. He has a regular relative from his mom. He's a Yisrael gomer. He's not a boy, he's not a gair. He's a born Jew. But the English shaman aim, but he has no paternal relationship. Like Tame and Mishom. We don't know whose dad is. But if his parents were locked in jail, she had no relationship with another man, we would take that relationship seriously. And if his mother converted while they're pregnant, well, you can't take your cut in Shinailud, we would recognize it as paternal relationship also. Not true. By the way, it's 100% paternally, biologically related. From the first case, in the first case, it's talking about when they were both born as Goyim. The time of Labishim, the Zer Masusim, the Kut and Shanel, there, Gershon is Gar Kut and Shanel. But in the second case, he's not a Ger. Zerma Zera. Why is Zerma Zera? Zerma means the flow. To Yairik Echet, Kizera Mayim Amalkleach Bekayach. Water comes with strength. It's called the Zerem of water. Zera comes out from a man the same way. Therefore, it's called Zerma Susum Zerma.
Whichever says that klal, what was the case speaking about? This is a big argument. But where does it say that klal?
The what?
That was
there. My system is not some part of your capsule.
And
he's talking about Goyim, and he says, "Star Kabayim Sarum is there. My system is not some." He's describing Goyim. I didn't know, I thought of it. It's in Ezekiel 38, I believe. No, Ezekiel 23. There's no Ezekiel here.
No, I know, I'm looking at some. Why wait until Eliezer come more?
Yeah, I think he's in Eved Kanani. He was worse.
Worse?
Yes. That's why I mentioned before that in Eved Kanani has kids from the Shifcha Kananus. We don't even recognize the relationship then. And the guy has kids from a non-Jewish woman. It's his children.
Yeah, on the other hand, he let him be marmot his Torah to everybody.
Right, so that's because you should be able to say a Chumash here on this.
No, I'm not joking.
I didn't say you're joking. You're writing a sefer. Why am I saying you're joking?
Talmud
Bavok,
and then behind the scenes you tell me the Chamor.
You can have a Chamor at the Talmud Bavok. Nobody's trying. You can have a Talmud Bavok that's a Chamor. How long is it?
That's something to brag about.
What?
That's something to
brag about. He didn't brag about it. There's a madrash that Avraham Avinu wanted to free Eliezer. And Eliezer said, it's better to be an Eved in this house than to be free anywhere else. That's Hagar before she came. And this is Eliezer when he wanted to free him. What if she Eved Babai is there? I'd rather stay here as an Eved Kanani than go free anywhere else. Yeah, I'm just telling you what the Medrash said Eliezer said. And that's even though he was a Kamar.
Zero. The ultimate Eved.
Eved and Ish. Calls him two times. Eved and Ish. Depending where he was. When it was in regard to Avraham Avinu, it calls him Eved. When he talked to Lavan and things like that, it says Vayemer Ish. Right. Does it ever mention his name in the Torah?
Domestic
Eliezer, yes, you're right. You're right? Next week's Parsha. When's the Sefer coming out?
He has
that skeleton
that we lined up.
I thought the score, I'm telling you, like 20 pages. 8 of the pages are that skeleton. Another thing that we've seen before. First eight pages
are
donated, or, you know,
the drug thing. I saw a statement that has Askama. It's the real. The one in Askama says, somebody wrote a letter to the publisher saying, when you put out my Sefer, I want you to use the same paper you used for Sefer A. And they put it in as Askama to Sefer A. Because it says the name of the Sefer A. All he did was write a letter to the publisher. When you print my Sefer, use the same kind of paper you use for Sefer A.
They use the same Askama.
They use that Askama. Simon says something. I can tell you. He said, obviously he read Sefer A, but he knew what type of paper. Okay, we'll continue right now.